Welcome to the final week of this series as we're calling I Want to Believe, but also want to welcome everybody who is watching online with us today just through the power of technology. Come on, Elevate City, let's welcome all those watching online with us today. Yeah. Good to have you along for the ride, and man, excited for today. God did some great work in our first service today, and so just real thankful. Good to be back with you. My wife did an amazing job last week, didn't she, everybody? Come on. So good. Great report, so much so I thought about taking a few more Sundays off. I thought, man, she's on a roll. And so anyway, she did fantastic, got to hear the message, and so just a great time last week. And just before we get in the message today, want to just tell you, remind you of something that's coming up. Shared this with you a couple weeks ago, but I really want to give kind of the why behind the what, and so why we are doing, we do this just one time a year, our legacy offering that we do on Sunday, December the 2nd. It's a time of year that we just are very intentional about doing something above and beyond us, and so something above our normal tithe that we just come and we just hear from God whatever God tells us to give. We do that, and so no pressure, no manipulation, none of that at all. It's why we just want to give you time to pray and to plan for that on December 2nd, and so but I wanted to give you a few reasons of what we're doing this year with that. Every year that we do it, there's some things that we've typically done. And so I wanted to make sure I did a good job of just giving you our vision for Legacy this year. And I want you to know that this is not about our need. This is because we have great vision, and we want to continue to grow and to reach Fort Wayne for the glory of God and beyond. Can you say a good amen today? And so that's our hearts, our vision. So I want you to know that. And we're all about just continuing to make an eternal difference, because that's why we're here. Amen? And so we want to do that together. So two things that Legacy Offering is going to do this year is, number one, is just continuing to help impact our local, national, and our global efforts that we already are doing, but just continuing to see that grow and increase. And so we just want to continue to be faithful. We have many partners that we work with in Fort Wayne and our nation and around the world, and just continuing to, again, reaching people for the glory of God. And so we want to continue to have an impact. On this Sunday, you're actually going to be hearing via video from some of our partners that we do ministry with, and just how your generosity is literally changing lives for the glory of God. And so I can't wait for you just to hear about what God is doing and how lives are being changed literally all over the world. And I just want to brag on you for a minute, because we do our business meeting. We just have an open book policy in our church. And so we're just always very honest and just walk in integrity with that. So we have a once a year annual meeting. It's typically around the February time that we just open that up for all that just want to hear about, man, what we're doing financially as a church, where it's going, so people get to see that, and they can walk away with a tangible copy of that. But one of the things that I love bragging on you guys about in our church, and I share this even at other places when I teach on these things, and that is the average church in America gives less than 4% away in missions and efforts like local, national, world level. So less than 4%. I want you to think about that for a minute. And Elevate City, just last year in 2017, gave away 15% away. And yeah, I think that's awesome, everybody. And so that represents what's something that's been a dream in our heart from the onset of when we planted this church, and that is we just have always dreamed of being a church that we just don't exist for ourselves and nobody else, that we exist, man, to reach people and to do things beyond us and to be a generous church. How many know Jesus said, blessed it is for you to give rather than to receive? And so we just want to be on the end of being blessed and doing, and we just know we're blessed to be a blessing, and so that's a big part of what we're doing. So I can't wait for you to hear from some of our ministry partners and what we're doing across the world today. And then number two is just continuing to help excel the vision of our church. As a growing church, we're working constantly just to continue and growing in different avenues, and so we want to continue to be faithful what God has called us to do right here. And so I'm going to be sharing with you on that Sunday just updates of just also how life changes happened just in 2018 and all that God has done this year. I'll tell you the other thing that we're dreaming about through Legacy, and Dan Sparling, who is our outreach director and does an amazing job. We talk a lot together because we've got just dreams for our city, and we want to see God move. But we've been dreaming about a few things, and so we're just believing for God to move in our Legacy Offering, because we've got a box truck that we want to get for these guys. For many that may not know, we have outreach efforts that happen every week. You may not know that about us, but hopefully you'll get to know that side. That happens through our small groups in our church, but we're feeding the homeless. We have our ministry that has our Adopt a Block, and on the southeast part of our city, just continuing to reach and helping those who don't have the resources or the money for us just to go and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Amen. And so we just are continuing to do that. But we're also finding continually just a need for even buses. And so we've looked at some things as well. And so there's a lot of vision. I think we'll always have more vision than we'll have resource because we just are always dreaming about what God can do next. But dreaming about a bus and how we can bus many of those families into our church. And until we get a downtown campus, somebody shout a good amen on that one. All right, just making sure you're with me. Come on, multi-site, let's go. And so, but we just are wanting to find a way to continue to help reach those people and see them have a church home as well. And so the need is great, but we know our God is big. Amen? And so I want to encourage you for that. And so, I just want to just say this, and I'll be done, and we'll get into the messages. You have no idea how much your giving is already changing lives. I mean, I am so thankful for you guys and just your generosity. I believe we'll ultimately see it in heaven. And so no pressure with this. I just encourage you. I've never in our 6 years have asked you for anything, and I won't ask you today. And I'm just encouraging you, go to God and see what God would have you to give on that Sunday. Whatever he tells you to do, man, just be obedient to that voice. And it may be something you've never done. It may be a huge faith goal for you, but I'm just telling you, be faithful with whatever God says, and I'm telling you he'll bless you in ways you can never imagine. Amen. All right, let's get into the message. You can grab your message notes inside your worship guide if you want to follow along in that way, or you can follow along on the screens behind me. And I want to open up in Ephesians chapter 17. This is kind of I feel like one of those highly anticipated messages. At least I feel that way. All right. And so I don't know if you do, but I know I do. And so been working on this a lot this week and up until after midnight last night. So tweaking and I just pray more than anything that God uses us today to help us. And it says this, and I actually, you have it in your message notes. It's the NIV version, but I did kind of an audible last night to our team, and just said, hey, James, I want to do a different version. And so I've got the message version that's here, and I think you'll see that on the screen. But it says this, I ask the God of our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally, that your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what it is that he is calling you to, grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life that he has for you. And the heart of the entirety of this series over this month of October is we have been talking about some very, I think, sensitive subjects that are very relevant to our culture, that are very relevant to what you and I go through and questions that we have. And so the whole heart is that people will know him personally, know God better through this series, and in the midst of it, help to answer hopefully some things to be able to give some clarity for your life. But the Bible says that we have to study to show ourselves approved. And that not only that, but we have to give a reason for our reason for belief and knowing the gospel well. And we need to know how to relay that to others well that are not of the belief of Christ yet. Amen. And so we want to make sure that we do that well. And so I hope that this has helped you in some of that way. But today's message is one that I think truly is an obstacle for many people. I truly believe it is not only an obstacle, it's a hurdle for a lot of people. We've talked so much about this in this series that I believe there's a lot of people that are, so many people that are rejecting God, but not rejecting the true God. They're rejecting what I think would be a distorted image of God. And so in week number one, we talked about on-demand God. And in that message, any of these messages, you can go online and watch if you missed it, but that a lot of people will say the thing of, man, I want to believe in God, but man, he didn't answer my prayer, and so because he didn't answer my prayer, he's not a God worth serving. And so we really looked in that message of how on-demand God does not exist, that he is not some genie in a bottle or some celestial sugar daddy. Come on, somebody, are you with me? All right, and so he's a God of relationship, and so so if you missed that message, go watch that message. Now, the second week was on Killjoy God. I want to believe in God, but, man, what's up with all these rules? I just want to do my thing my way and just kind of live life, like, what's up with everything? And we learned in that week that religion has complicated what Jesus has made simple with his love. And so if you missed that, go watch it. And then my wife did just a great job last week in talking about Goosebumps God, where, I want to believe in God, but, man, I can't feel him. How, you know, when I go to church, I can't feel him. How can I believe in a God that I cannot feel? All right. And then today's message, we are calling Heartless God. That I want to believe in God, but it just seems like he doesn't care. Where is he? What's going on? What's happening? Why do these things happen? It was interesting just this week when I got home Sunday afternoon. I was ministering down in the Indianapolis area at another church, and I helped to oversee that church. And I was the pastor that went about 58 weeks straight with no vacation. How many know it was time for that brother to get a vacation? And so I went down to support. And something Bethany and I did, hashtag church planters, it's just the way it rolls, all right? And so it's hard work. But Chad went with me, and so we came back, and I got back. It wasn't too long after I got back Sunday evening of last week that I received an email from a woman that was in one of the services that I ministered in. And it was a great email, very, very nice. Of course, I always kind of wonder, okay, how's this going to go? You know what I'm saying? So I got it, and she enjoyed the message. I thought, okay, whew, well, praise God. You know, and so, but she said in there, I shared just the story and testimony of how God, it would be 10 years ago in December already, that, man, God just raised me and healed my body, raised me off of my deathbed and did a miracle in my body. And then how God also healed my mother of a brain tumor. And so a true miracle that both of her and I experienced through the power of God. So I shared that story. And in a very heartfelt way, she reached out and again said, man, the message was great. And I just want to say, you know, I've been a believer in God for a while. But she said, this is something I struggle with. And she said, I struggle with this. She said, and I appreciate the testimony of healings because I need to hear them. She said, but as a young girl, I watched my mother diagnosed with a terminal illness, and she ended up dying and not making it. And we prayed and we prayed and our church prayed and we prayed some more, but nothing happened. And she said, why is it that God does that, heals, you know, maybe your family, but what happened to my mom? And she said it in such a way, it wasn't, you know, I could tell there, it wasn't a lot of deep bitterness there. She said, it's just questions I've wrestled with. And she said, I'm still moving and walking things out in the Lord. And so I told her, I said, well, it's funny. I said, we're doing a series right now. And I said, I'm actually talking about some of this Sunday. And so she emailed me back and said she's catching up on the series. I know she's watching, and so I won't say her name, but I'm glad you're watching. I'm thankful for that email, and I'm believing, and I know God's going to do just a work in your life. And so, and I believe today a lot of us probably have something similar that we can relate to or an experience like that we've had. Maybe it's we've prayed for something, and they just, maybe it didn't happen. The thing in which we were praying for, it didn't turn out like we were hoping it would, or what, you know, and I see of all times, I saw the horrific news that happened in Pittsburgh yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw that, but the news of the synagogue, the 11 people were just shot and killed by a man of just full of hate, and 9 people injured. And so our prayers, even as a church, man, are with our Jewish brothers and sisters. There's no doubt about that. And just believing for God to move in their families and their life. Why do those things happen? Why do innocent people die? We see mass shootings across the country, and we see natural disasters across the world. Why are these things happening? Where is God at? I want to believe in you, God, but it just seems like you do not care. And I just want you to know, if you have ever felt that way, you are not the only one. You're not the only one. People read the Bible sometimes and they think the men and women in the Bible are a bunch of men and women that are just kind of beyond life. And the truth be told, they are men and women that were full of issues. And they live, you know, and God chose some of the ones that I'm telling you, like you and me, just ordinary, and only God can make them extraordinary. But they're real men and women who had real emotions. I'm going to share a few stories with you in just a second relating to that. But I want you to realize this. If you're following along in your notes, you can jot this down, that until you realize that God is all that you have, you will never realize that he is all that you need. And I think, and I want to start with this because this is something I spoke a few weeks ago, and I just wanted to start with this thought because I think it's important for us to understand that God will always be and always needs to be and in our life and anything that we go through, the source and the solution for everything that we have. When we look at the scripture, there's a lot of examples of men and women that went through a lot of difficulties. I think about David. David was a man that was after God's own heart, but yet he went through a lot of adversity, went through a lot of challenges in his life. He was literally running for his life, faithful to the call of God, but here his life's in jeopardy. Saul is trying to kill him. Then you have Job. I think about Job. Job will mess with you. Like if you go read that book, I mean, it'll mess with you. I mean, Satan comes and literally tries to take him out. And we need to really realize this, John 10:10, that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, that we really do have an adversary. We really do have a spiritual enemy, and his name is Satan. And he's doing everything he possibly can to take us out and to destroy our lives. And we need to realize that evil is in the world today. And it's working and trying to oppose everything that God is trying to do. And Job, and you look at his life, he literally loses everything. He gets hit with sickness, loses his livelihood, loses his family. His friends are jerks. I mean, they just are, they're idiots. I mean, I just feel bad for the guy as I read through him. And then his wife says the thing that you should never say, and she looks at him and says, you know, because of this whole situation, Job, just curse God and be done with him. I mean, no, not real good advice from Brother Job's wife, yeah. And so the question is, where are you, God? And then one of the great examples I think about in your Bible is John the Baptist, who was the cousin of Jesus. His purpose was just to prepare the way for Jesus. And so as he's preparing the way for Jesus, John even talked about, the Baptist talked about that he was even unworthy to undo the sandal of Jesus, just recognize the honor that he had. But John the Baptist was in a place that he was doing the right thing, but he was arrested for what he did. And being the cousin of Jesus, he's in the prison thinking, oh, I'm going to get out of this pretty quick. Like, I'm the cousin of Jesus. He's the savior of the world. Like, man, we literal blood. Like, I'm going to roll up out of here real quick. I've seen his power. Man, he's healed blinded eyes. He's raised the dead. He's healed the sick. Man, I've even seen him do party tricks. He was at the wedding, and he turned the water into wine. Come on, somebody. You know, so John the Baptist just has this vision that, man, Jesus is going to come get me, and it's going to be pretty cool. He's going to bring about 50 angels with him. He's going to bust me out of here. All the bad guys are going to get hemorrhoids. I mean, it's just going to be awful for them, but it's going to be really good for us. And the music's going to play as we bust out. There's going to be smoke, and we're just going to kind of fist bump one another. What's up? Kind of like Pastor Kyle tells us to do. If we're going to fist bump one another, and boom, baby, what's up? I'm free. But that's not what happened. That's not what happened. John the Baptist waits, and he waits, and he waits until finally he tells somebody, can you go find Jesus? And can you ask him a question? And ask him this question for me. Are you the one we are expecting, or should I expect somebody else? What happened? Jesus, I know that you can, and you're not. Do you even care? If you've ever wanted to believe, and it seemed like Jesus didn't care, I just want you to know today that you are not the only one. So what I want to do is, over the next few minutes, I want to make you two promises today in this message. Promise number one is this, that I cannot answer every question that you have. I cannot answer every question you have. But number two, I do promise that I can point you to the one who will answer everything one day for you. All right, I want you to know that. And so what I want to do in the next few minutes is give you a few thoughts, a few things to embrace, some truths to remember when God doesn't seem fair. So that's the thought I want to work with when God doesn't seem fair. Number one is understanding this, that God does always have purpose in your pain. He always has purpose in your pain. I got a sub-point. I was really thinking about this message a ton this week. My sub-point is just, even is to remember this in your notes, I think I put it in there, that even when you are hurting, God is still working. And so it's remembering that there's purpose in my pain. And to remember that even when I'm at my lowest, even when I am struggling, I know that God is still working on the inside of me. Maybe somebody has let you down. Maybe you lost someone close to you. Maybe someone lied to you. Maybe somebody gossiped about you. Maybe it's a sickness that's going on even right now in your body or somebody else that you know. Could be that you just are finding that things are not going your way and you're wondering, God, do you care? At whatever level it is that you are hurting, I want you to remember that God does have a purpose, and he is using difficult times and can use these times always to do something in us. The Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, there is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. I want you to see that. Another scripture, Jesus said, in this life, you will have trouble. There's going to be some things you're going to go through. Say, man, pastor, I wish you'd be more positive today. I'm positive you're going to have some trouble. You're going to have to push through and trust God. Relationship with God and people, that's why it's just incredibly important. Check this out. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. That your faith is genuine. These trials will show that your faith, seasons of testing, times of adversity in my own life have often taught me a lot. And one of the things that it shows me and teaches me about myself and about my relationship with God is where I'm at in my relationship and my pursuit in God and where I'm not at. Where do I need to grow in my faith? How can I become the man of God that he is destined and wants me to believe to be? And so it shows me, I believe adversity can become a teacher. I think as you grow in your faith, and this is why I talked about this weeks ago, if you'll go all in and get beyond complacent Christianity, in other words, that I just do church every once in a while, but if you'll get beyond complacent Christianity and get into a place of deepness, and what I'm talking about is deep, just saying, man, I'm going to go all in with God. I'm going to give my life completely to him. I'm going to go through a growth track and figure it out what it is that God has gifted me to do and what I need to be doing with my life. I'm going to get in a small group because I realize that life sucks when we're alone. And I realize that, man, I've got to do this thing together with people or else I'm not going to make it. And so I'm realizing, and so it's important that we understand that in the growth and the trials, God never meant for you and I to do this thing by ourselves. And I think. Can I just be real honest with you? I struggle the most in my life when adversity hits, when I'm by myself, thinking by myself, when I'm all alone. I've realized that my feelings lie to me and that my emotions of those feelings can jack me up if I don't lean into God's word and lean into his wisdom and into the relationships of people. And the bottom line is this, is that we've got to continually have a heart that seeks after God and to get as close to Jesus as we can. God has purpose. Even though you might be in the midst of something today, there's a purpose. Even though you may not understand it, we talked about this in recent weeks, even though you may not see it, even though you may not feel it, even though that you can't understand it all, God has a purpose through everything that you and I are going through. And we've got to continually run towards Jesus and run towards his plan so that our spiritual roots grow deeper. Are you with me? So understand this. God, listen to me. Listen to me very clearly. God does not cause the pain, but he'll use the pain to help us. He has a purpose in the pain. This week, I couldn't help but think about my mom. And so the woman that emailed me, I went on to tell her the story of my mom because I shared with the church last week I was at about, again, the story of God bringing me through, the miracle that happened with her and I. But what I didn't tell them was the other side of that story with my mom, that in the midst of that tumor that she had, she was also diagnosed with Meniere's disease. And if you don't know what Meniere's disease is, it is a horrific disease. And it's a disease that attacks the hearing of people. And for her specifically, it started in the left ear. She's lost 80% of her hearing in her left ear, 60% in her right ear. And what it also does in the left ear is it thins out the bone. I'm no doctor, so forgive my medical terminology, glory to God, all right? And so just go with me. And so, but it thins it out. So what happens is she hears constant blood flowing, constant, what she would describe as roaring, and it will jack up her equilibrium to where she can't stand sometimes. Well, she'll have days on end sometimes, or she's bedridden, and vomiting. Sounds like a fun life. And her good days and her bad days. And so the good days she tries to capitalize off of that, heard my stepdad. But the bad days are bad. And I called her this week. I said, Mom, this is what I'm talking about. I said, you've battled Meniere's disease over 20 years. I said, but Mom, God healed you. I said, we've talked about this. But God healed you of that, but why not this? And it was a struggle for much of our family. And I'd be honest to say that sometimes those questions still come up. And I said, you know, and I talked to her about this point because I said, man, this ain't going to be real impacting if this isn't a true statement. I know it is for me, but I want to know from your mouth. Have you found purpose in this? And she said, without a doubt, there's been purpose. And here's the other thing that I want to give you, number two, is that God is present in your pain. I'm going to continue telling about this story with my mom because I think it's going to help somebody. He's present. And that's the one thing she said. She said, in the midst of everything that I've gone through, he has never left me. Psalm 46:1, it says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Here's something that I think is important for us to remember. I think that so often we want God to give us what we want. We talked about this a little bit in week one, but God wants to show us that he is what we need. I'm going to say it again. So often we want God to give us what we want. We want it on our terms, our way. Again, as I said, he's not some genie in a bottle. He's not some sugar daddy. It's not who God is, all right? But God wants to show us that he is what we need. And whatever you're facing, God is saying, I am the source of everything that you need. Paul was a guy in Scripture that God used to write 2/3 of the New Testament. But before he was Paul the Apostle, he was Silas, or Saul, excuse me. And he was in a place where God ended up changing his name. But he has this thing that he would assemble people to kill Christians. That was his job. His job before he met Christ was slaughtering Christians. And he slaughtered them by the hundreds and the hundreds. And then all of a sudden he has an encounter with God on Damascus Road that changed his life forever. And I would even go as far as to say this, outside of Jesus Christ, I don't know that if anybody else that has had more of an impact in reaching people for Jesus, probably outside of Paul and maybe Billy Graham. I mean, these guys were phenomenal in just the gospel message of Jesus Christ and reaching so many people. But think about this. Here's what I want you to think about. Paul, he led, he helped see many people converted to Christ. He was a church planter, did a lot of amazing things. But he talked about 3 different times in Scripture this thorn in his flesh. And he talked about this thorn 3 different times and asked God to take it away. And again, this is a faithful man that's been to, that Paul is. And here Paul was also shipwrecked. He was snake bitten. He was stoned. And I don't mean recreationally. He was literally stoned. All right. It's 2018. I got to clarify. All right. So if God's going to save anybody, I mean, surely it would be Paul. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, but God said to me, God's talking to Paul. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul is warning, he's wanting that thorn, that pain, that struggle to be healed. Instead, God says, no, there's another way I'm going to work. And it's through my grace that is sufficient for you. That's what you need. Paul's in a place, but God, this is what I need. But God is saying, no, I am what you need. This is something I believe that we cannot always explain, but we have to experience. You can't, and I just know this personally, can't always put this into words. You just can't. But when you've been there, you know what I mean. And all you have is Him. Jesus is everything that you need. The Bible says this so many times. We see God's grace is all that we need. Back in 2 Corinthians 9 and 10, it says, therefore, again, Paul talking here, he said, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. I mean, there's a shift in Paul. I mean, he went from, God, take this away, to all of a sudden he recognized, okay, this grace thing, I'm going to try this grace thing that you're talking about, God, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, look at this, he said, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulty. When's the last time you said, man, God, thank you that this season is horrible. Man, this is terrible, but I love it. Give me more. I just don't hear anybody praying that. I mean, this is awesome. But there was a moment for Paul that he got to in his relationship with God that he realized that this grace thing really does work. It enables you to do what you could never do on your own. That's grace. That's the Spirit of God on the inside of you. So when we look at that word delight, I want to put it in our sense today. For some of us, it's you may be lonely, maybe in a season of loneliness, but it's saying, God, I delight. And I'm not saying you arrive here overnight, but God, that I delight in this lonely season because I have experienced Emmanuel, God with us. That God, I delight that even though that I don't have a job today, I'm on a search for a job, and I know that you are my provider. That, Lord, I delight in this difficult season because God is breaking me of self-sufficiency. That it's not all about me and what I want. And I want you to read this last part with me, would you? For when I am weak, come on, church, then I am strong. Come on, say it one more time. For when I am weak. This is a very, listen to me very carefully. This is a spiritual walk that you and I have. Winning the war in the spirit is only going to be, is only going to happen by you staying connected to God in the spirit. Your level of prayer, your level of being in the word. We freak out when we step away from His presence. I find myself most overwhelmed in seasons of adversity because I've stepped away from His presence. And then I'm thinking, well, God, where are you at? And God's thinking, well, where are you at? And it's just we're quick to blame God. And I just think we need to stop it. And we need to come back to the understanding of who He is. And this is what this whole series has been about. I just really believe this is an important time, an important thing that we've been teaching over the last few weeks. And you and I need to remember this, that you are not a physical being having spiritual experiences. I'm saying this again. You are not a physical being having spiritual experiences. You are a spiritual being having a temporary physical experience. I'm saying it again. You are a spiritual being having a temporary physical experience. This life is but a mist. It's here. It's gone. Eternity is real. Heaven, hell are realities. God is always present in our pain. I said, Mom, I said, what did Meniere's do for you? You said it had purpose. She said, first thing it's done is it's brought me closer to God than I've ever been in my life. She said, He's everything I cling on. I said, what else? She said, emphatically, compassion for people like never before who have chronic illnesses and sickness, but then just serving and reaching people. She said, Kyle, the best thing that's happened to me is getting lost in the cause of reaching people. That's helped bring healing to my life. I said, the pain's still present when you're doing it. She said, the pain is still there. But I don't think about the pain near as much because I'm thinking about the people that I'm reaching. and I'm thinking about fulfillment in my life. And the only thing she said that I found that truly fulfills me is yes, my relationship with Christ, but it's when I'm making a difference in the lives of other people and I'm not just sitting around twiddling my thumbs, complaining and whining about my current condition. This is my mom talking. She just will tell you like it is. It's who she is. And she said, so that's the way I've chosen to live my life until God heals me. And we all hold to that faith. She said, I'm sticking with it and I'm sticking with God because he's sticking with me. But the bottom line, people say this. They say, well, man, it's just not fair. Life's not fair. I can say this honestly as I look back over the 10 years of my life and when I've went through some struggles and dark seasons in my life, because I have, seasons of depression, seasons of, just absolute anxiety and thinking, I'm going to quit. I'm not going to make this. In those moments, in those times, I didn't get it. But as I look back over the last 10 years, I can see that God was with me in that season, that my life and my past was marked by his faithfulness and love. And I can see without God and his power moving in me, I wouldn't be standing here today. A lot of people say, they've asked me this, they say, Kai, why do you think bad things happen to good people? I'll mess with people and then I'll say, well, why do you think good things happen to bad people? And I'll get that stare. And here's what I know. I'm a bad person. I said, well, you're a pastor. But you know what? I've got sins and issues too. Absolutely. I've got, and I don't get it right all the time. I remember a time not too long ago, I was, one of the staff was with me and I was doing a hospital visit. And I was doing the hospital visit and man, the hospital was just packed. I never realized until I really did all these hospital visits how busy it is during the day and parking lots. My goodness. And so there I was looking for a parking spot and nothing open. And I just didn't want to park on the other side of the planet to get in there. All right. Being a little facetious there. So finally I drove around enough. Finally, I saw a person walking. Their car's right in the front. I thought, oh, praise God. And so They put the car in reverse. The lights come on, the reverse light. How many know what I'm talking about? And I was waiting at least a good 5 minutes, no joke. And I did the polite thing, put on my turn signal. I was, I think that's what you're supposed to do, isn't it? Waiting for a parking spot. And so I was waiting my turn and gonna wait for them to get out. And then all of a sudden there's another car that drives around. I thought, I said, okay. And so I thought, well, they're gonna have to wait. They're going to have to find their spot. Mine's been found, And so I was just giving the benefit of the doubt, right? I'm a pastor, right? And so I said, they'll probably drive around after I pull in. And so the people pulled out. And wouldn't you know it, man, they put the gas to the pedal and zoomed right in my spot. And I thought, oh, Lord. Oh, no, you didn't. You did not just take that spot from me. And so staff was with me, mind you, and we don't always get it right, and instead of pulling away like I should have, I pulled right behind them, put my car in park. And I waited for them to get out of the car. Oh, Jesus. Now, the one thing I was praying, I said, God, please don't let this be anybody from Elevate City. just was hoping it was none of you guys, And so they get out of the car. It wasn't. So I thought, okay, praise the Lord. And I said, excuse me. Oh, they heard me. I didn't get out of my car, all right? Wasn't trying to throw down. Just trying to make a point. Wasn't right. And so I said, hey, I know you saw me with my signal on. I said, that was rude and ridiculous. What say you? Oh, I didn't see you. Are you blind? I was sitting here, and we just went on, and they just started, oh, no, we didn't see you lying. I said, oh, man. And so long story short, church, I had to apologize to our staff, and I said, don't ever do that. I should have just driven away. Anyways, here's what I'm saying. We don't always get it right. We all sinners. We mess up. Get it wrong, man. And I felt bad, repented later on that. Romans 5:8, God reminds us, that while we're still in sin, Jesus still died for us. He loves us. Is God fair? A lot of people have asked that. No. Listen to me. Is God fair? No. Everybody listening to me, everybody watching online, listen to me. God is not fair, but he is always just. If God, listen to me, if God were always fair, then he would give us what our sins deserve. But because he is a just God, he sent his son Jesus Christ to pay for the sins of the world. In the midst of our sin, Romans 5:8, he still died for us. Psalm 103, God does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he has removed our transgressions from us. We need to thank God that he is not always fair, that he doesn't give us what our sins deserve. Can the church say a good amen today? Whenever you're tempted to see it, the unjust that's going on in the world and the chaos in the world, and say, man, why would God allow this? I would challenge you to this. Don't just think about things from your perspective, but think about them from your Heavenly Father's perspective. A Father who loves you has purpose in your pain. He is with you. He is present when you're hurting. I'll never forget of a story of a pastor friend of ours, and they're at a party, and a birthday party, and they had a zip line. Everybody know what a zip line is? It's one of those things like you get on and it, whew, I mean, it goes from one side to the other, usually over, you know, like a hill or whatever. And so his daughter gets on this zip line. Their friends put his daughter on the zip line, and so just trusted the friends. And so she's about 4 years of age, and she gets up there to tie her up, and man, she's just having a blast. She goes and got pigtails on, wee, you know, and just going. And then she gets going so fast that they can't slow her down. And she gets to the end, and she face plants right in the tree and absolutely busts her entire face open, and blood just pouring from her. Craig said, man, I ran. As soon as they called me, I ran and grabbed her. Amy, his wife, was just beside herself, couldn't even get with it. So Craig said, I did what I thought to do and took her in the car to get to the ER. And I get to the ER, and I was frantic. They're asking me, you know, what's your name? He said, I can't remember my name. Just help my daughter. Help my daughter. They did something, ER doctor, he said, did something a little bit unorthodox. They asked Craig to come in with his daughter. I said, sir, we've got to do surgery right now on her. We've got to get her face together. We're going to have to put some layers of stitches underneath on top if she's going to make it through this. And so he said, whatever you need, whatever you need. So they come in, and they ask him to get on the bed with his daughter. And they said, sir, we're going to have to ask you to do something. We need you to hold her down. We need you to take your hands and put them around her head and keep her down so she doesn't get up so that we can do the surgery. The father who loved his child couldn't explain why he had to hold her down. And in the midst of her holding down, he's crying, and he says, all my girl kept saying was, daddy, daddy, no, I just want to play. I just want to go play. I just want to play. She didn't know, didn't understand. But the father had a purpose for the daughter, even though that she didn't understand it at the moment, and that he was never going to leave her. And I'm just encouraging you today that when you hurt, God hurts too. There are times that he wants to tell you, but you and I can't quite understand. And he is saying to us today, I am going to do something through this. I am working in you. He knows what it's like to hurt more than anybody else. God loved you so much that he did something that was not fair. He sent his son to die. When Jesus became sin, that's what happened on the cross. He became sin for us. And there was a moment where he looked up to his father and he said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Where are you? I don't see you. Where are you? You've turned away from me. The father couldn't look upon sin. But because the Father loved you, he sent his son to die in your place. That is a love, church, beyond anything we could ever imagine. That is a love that from a God who is not heartless. God, listen to me. He doesn't just love. He is love. God is love. It's who he is. And I thought so much about this, how I want to end this today. And here's the final thing I want to give you, and we're going to pray in just a second. That is that there is more to this life than this life. That it's not just about everything that we're seeing in this world. We're here for a short time, a short visit, but eternity is forever. It's forever. But there's a day coming for those that have a relationship with Jesus that we live to the promise of one of the things that God tells us in Revelation 21:4, that he will wipe away every tear from their eye and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. I don't know about you, but that's the place I want to call home. Heaven is my home. Heaven is the home for those that have a relationship with Christ. So I want to pray for you. Will you bow your head right where you're at? Because I know that there are many of us that are here today. I've been praying for you. We have our team. So many of us here that have a lot of questions. Some of you are facing even things right now that seem much, much bigger than you. You've been trying to figure this thing out, but God does have a plan. He's got purpose through the pain. He's present in the pain. Whatever you're facing, I'm telling you, God can handle. But surrender to him. Some of us are feeling and we're realizing, man, I can't do this on my own anymore. For somebody else, it may be a barrier that you have between you and God. And you're realizing today, man, I need the presence of God. I need the comfort of the Holy Spirit like never before, Kyle, in my life, and I can't do this without him. If that's you, if I'm talking to anybody right now that says, man, this message, this whole thing, everything you just said, that's for me. Just slip up your hand right now. I want to know who I'm praying for. Yeah. Hands going up. Awesome. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person right now under the sound of my voice, those that have reached and know that, God, that you are speaking. Heavenly Father, I'm asking, let the ministry of your Holy Spirit bring a comfort, bring resolution, bring understanding, God. But more importantly, God, maybe for somebody else, what we need is just a greater trust and a faith in you to know that you're working all things out for our good. Even though we may not see it, even though we may not feel it, that you are working it out. And so, God, we choose to surrender. We choose to surrender in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for loving us the way that you do. If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with God, I want to give you an opportunity to know him today. If you're here and maybe you've just been away from God and you haven't been pursuing him, but you're realizing, man, I've got to get God back in first place in my life again and make him the priority relationship again. If that's you under the sound of my voice, come on, without any hesitation, I want you to lift your hand on the count of three and say, man, that's me. I realize I need that relationship. One, come on, two, three, hands already going up. Come on, hands going up. I'm telling you, God is here. Yeah. Hands, tons of hands. Can't count them. Amen. Awesome, guys. Awesome. Proud of you. Proud of every one of you. Incredible. So I want to lead you in a prayer for those that raised your hand. Just mean this from your heart today. We're going to pray with you. Say this after me. Say, Jesus, I need you. I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me. Erase my past. I declare today's a new day for me. I'm not going back. I'm moving forward. Jesus, thank you for dying for me, raising from the dead for me. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.